Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another week of Community Zone here on 106.1 FM, Wellington Access Radio. My name is Simon Howard, and coming up in the next hour, we're taking a look at the very best of what's happening across Ponicky on stage and on screen. Tonight, coming up, we have two interviews coming your way before 6 o'clock. First of all, I'm going to be talking to Sam Sneddon. He is the director of The Wasp, an exciting psychological thriller which just opened over the weekend at Circa Theatre. It stars two of Aotearoa's most accomplished actors in Bree Peters and Miriama McDowell. It's had me on the edge of my seat. It's one of my favourite shows I've seen for a long time at the theatre, and I'm delighted to have Sam on the show in just a few minutes to tell me all about it. Then, a little bit later on, we are joined by Leighton Lilas. Now, he is from Showcase Entertainment, responsible for bringing Shrek the Musical to family audiences this October school holidays. That arrives at the wonderful St. James Theatre next Wednesday for 9 performances only. Our very own Tom Knowles, who we've seen in many shows and in bars around town, he is Shrek. We'll be talking all about that a little bit later in the hour. And if we have time, just before 6 o'clock, we'll have a look at everything else that's on stage and on screen across the city this week. But before we go any further tonight, let's play some brand new hit Kiwi music. Here is Foley with Killing Me Babe.
A photograph in your wallet, we took it just before your birthday. We're standing shoulder to shoulder, we spent forever in the same place. In the thick of it, I like it when you hate me just a little bit. Cause I love self-deprecating. No more mistakes. I'm sober in Vegas. Sugar decay. Got a bit too much sweetness in your grace. You look at me like I'm your idol. I look at you like I'm a ride or die. You kill me, babe. For infinity's sake, I'm making things better, but you're just turning up the pressure. I got all my flaws and you got demons in your closet you hide tonight. And I wanna quit. I like it when you hate me
It's time to move, no time to breathe. Not enough hours in a day. Feeling the pressure, week after week, with bills to pay, children to feed. When all I want is love, oh, I, love is all we need. Yeah. I'd never give you up. No, 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 no. The only thing we have, the only thing we need.
The time is 9 minutes past five. You are listening to 106.1 FM, Wellington Access Radio. Now, The Wasp, it's an exciting new psychological thriller which opened at Circa Theatre over the weekend after a successful season up in Tamaki Makaurau at Kew Theatre. Miriama McDowell and Bree Peters, two of our most accomplished actors, team up again under the direction of Sam Sneddon to bring Morgan Lloyd Malcolm's text to life in an unpredictable and electric story. Now, Sam joins me on the line. Kia ora, Sam. Welcome to Access Radio.
Kia ora, Simon. Thanks for having me.
Now, when and how did you first come across The Wasp?
Well, Miriama sent it to me in 2020, like when we were literally, I think, in the first week of the pandemic. And she said, hey, well, this is over. What do you think about me and Bree doing this together? And I read it and I said, yeah, I think the play's fantastic, but I think it's going to be a while before people want to see like something that is this tense and taut. Just because I think what people will probably want is like, I don't know, a bit more escapism when they come back to the theatre. But I honestly feel like the timing that we've got with this production has ended up being perfect.
Yeah.
Because I think it's exactly the kind of thrilling thing that is really bringing people out who haven't maybe been to the theatre in a while and are looking for a reason to kind of chance it and go and see something.
Yeah. Is that what it was really about the text, about the story that made you want to jump on board and direct it? I mean, obviously, Miriam and Brie, yeah.
It's the team. Like, it is the team. Like, Miriam and Brie, I directed them in a play in 2018. And they're just such wonderful collaborators and actors. And, like, I think the rest of the team around the story, they're all, I've worked with them all before, and I think it's just the idea of being able to make something which is as unpredictable and as kind of like, like, I hate to use the word thrilling because it is a thriller, do you know what I mean? But it really is like a pulse-pounding kind of show. Like, even now when I watch it, even though I know what's going to happen, I still find myself being caught up in the kind of like the twists and turns, because it really, I think the thing that is so exciting about it is that it shows you something and then it completely flips that idea on its head. And I think the way that the work just keeps pulling the rug out from the audience constantly throughout the show, like really right up until the final moments, is like, that's what makes it such, for me, such like an interesting piece of writing.
Yeah, 100%. And like, having seen the work over the weekend, I almost want to go back and see it again, just to sort of knowing the twist, just to see, was the hints dropped?
The truth is that we did layer the piece so that if you have seen it before, there are like the sort of Easter eggs hidden throughout, like little like thematic, like little motifs, little things that the actors do with their performances, little things in the set that kind of echo what's about to happen. I mean, it's not, you would never see it. It's sort of you would never see it unless you're rewatching the play. But actually, we did find that in Auckland. I had a number of people who messaged me, or who randomly just hit me up on Instagram, people I didn't know, who were like, I've been to see it twice and I noticed X, Y, Z. And I was like, it's all intentional. We've got that stuff on purpose.
And you mentioned that, obviously, all three of you worked together in 2018 on Sam Brooks' play, Burn Her. As a director, what is it about Brie and Miriama that stands out to you, that excites you, that makes you want to work with them again and again?
First of all, they have such a great friendship and relationship, mm-hmm. and I think that means that there is a really good artistic shorthand when you're working together. They trust each other, and that means that they can really go for it in the moments that are more difficult. I think they're both such brilliant, intuitive actors, and they both will bring things into their preparation, into their performance, that I could never have predicted or never would have chosen for their character, mm-hmm. and they really commit to what they're doing, like, absolutely and totally. And I think that is the thing that is so exciting about it. I mean, Miriama is, like, a very, very well-known actor, obviously, mm-hmm. New Zealand. You know, she's played Dame Fina Cooper. She's been on our screens and around and on stages for, you know, the best part of 20 years. She's made one of our most well-known faces. But I would say that Brie absolutely deserves to be seen in that same... At that same level. I really believe that she's one of the best actors that this country's ever produced, and I absolutely hang my hat on that. I just think she is fantastic, and I'm just thrilled to have worked with her again. It's funny because we've known each other for a long time. We were at drama school together, and I always knew that she was amazing, but I think it wasn't until we worked together on Burn Her that I really went, oh, it's not just that she really is on it. She's operating at a different level. It's just, it's so thrilling. It's so brilliant to be working with her again.
Yeah, and you get in the audience, you see it. You know, you see them working together, and it's thrilling in itself. What were some of the biggest challenges that you faced when sort of you first set out on stage in the work?
I mean, translocating it from the UK to here. Mm-hmm. Although, to be honest, like the writer Morgan was so brilliant about that. She said, "Yes, I absolutely expect that people will do that, and I'm totally comfortable with that." So when we sent her through the changes that we made, she didn't really query any of them, which was like just an extraordinary piece of generosity from her, but that was something that we were worried about early on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tricky to make independent theatre of any kind of scale in New Zealand because you don't have the resources that you really need in order to sort of throw cash at something. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. problems all have to be nutted out. You can't buy your way out of an issue. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably, like, honestly, the stuff that happens in the room is, in a way, the kind of easy part. Mm-hmm. It's the stuff around the work that is actually the toughest bit. But I have to say that the support that we've had from the presentation partners, Q in Auckland and Circa in Wellington, has been amazing. And we could not have done the show without them. They've been fantastic.
It feels quite rare, actually, in some ways. For you know, you've come to Wellington fresh off a season on in one of the main stages elsewhere.
Yeah.
In this case,
I really think it's the kind of model that we should be exploring more. It gives artists, like, there's the opportunity there to make more money, obviously, but also it gives them a chance to really dig into their practice, to have like sort of 6 weeks of doing the same job. Mm-hmm. It means that it's a bigger block out of time, but I also think that it means that there's a potential for kind of building audiences across both different population centres, and I think that is really important as well. And it kind of goes to, I just think the opportunity's there for us to be a bit more cooperative in the way in which we work, because I think that in a resource poor environment, and theatre can be a pretty resource poor environment, particularly when you're an independent person like putting on shows. It's really helpful when you can have access to those two audiences, and you can really just work to sort of build the momentum of the show as you go.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, you've got kind of the Basement and Bats, right, that do it at that level, but to have it at the level of this, right, you know, Circa and Q, that's there's definitely room for more of that, I reckon.
Totally.
Now, this is quite a dark piece, right? There's plenty of coarse language, violence, graphic discussions of stuff, themes of mental health in there too. How do you go about managing that with the whole team when working on a show like this intensively for several weeks, first in rehearsals and then through the season? Do you kind of all have to take a minute at the start and in the end just to sort of debrief?
That's exactly what we did. So we have a check-in and a check-out at the end of every single day.
Nice.
So that if things are live for us, you can kind of leave them in the room and you're not carrying the energy of what you've just done into your own life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really helps to have actors like Miriamma and Bree who have got such a great sense of play, because yes, the play is really full on, but we laughed so much in the rehearsal room, because when you're trying to make something, when you're trying to make a particular moment happen, even if it's a horrible moment or if it's a really nasty moment, like a comment or a look or the direction of a speech, like if you're trying to make that, the moment when you crack it, the biggest emotion that you feel at that moment is really joy, because you've cracked open what it is you were trying to do. And mm-hmm. the amount of times that we would do something really nasty and just know that what we were doing, that it was right, like that it was right for that moment, and we'd literally jump around the room clapping and laughing because you've got to the point that you wanted to get to, which is you've made it work in that moment.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's a lot of joy to be had about doing nasty stuff.
And we've got to talk about the design team on this as well. I mean, Meg Rolandi's brilliant.
Amazing.
And with her assistance from Kate Carrington and Sophie Forsyth, I mean, how delighted are you with what they've been able to realise? I mean, that set in particular.
Meg is my... This is the second time I've worked with her, or the third time I've worked with her as a collaborator, but she's just so brilliant to work with. She always forces me to think like more broadly, and to sort of think about design in a totally different way. And I just love that about her. And like Kate and Sophie, who I've never worked with before, but have been ably assisting me on the production, like they have been totally invaluable. Like given the tight windows that we've had for Packin and Auckland and Wellington, like actually pushing the show up into the space.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which the set works, the quite intricate way in which the set works, it's very doubtful that we would have made it without their assistance. So I'm extremely grateful to them for that.
Yeah.
Their work that they've done has been like precise and thoughtful and really inspiring. It's been awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So, as is Jane Hakaraya's lighting design and Emmy Pagoni's the composer for the piece. I mean, the sound design for this is really unsettling at times, isn't it?
It just adds to the vibe of the text. Emmy is one of my favourite collaborators. Like, she works so incredibly hard and so diligently to kind of create the... she really thinks deeply about everything that she's doing. And... considers so much, and I think that's what makes them such a great designer, because I'm so grateful to have Jane as well, like all of her incredible experience, all of her knowledge about, and I think the thing about it is that it's great to have people aligned, at everyone making the same thing. Everybody knew what the show was when they read the script, and the way that we were all talked about it from the beginning was, this is the kind of piece we're trying to make. And I think when you've got all your collaborators aligned like that, it just makes for a really fruitful process. Even though it can be difficult at times, you still get if you're all just like heading in the same direction, it means that you can get there that much faster.
Absolutely. It's a great piece. I'm aware we haven't really spoken too much about what it's about, but I guess I don't really want to spoil it for the audience.
No, I mean, it really is a twisty, turny, edge of your seat, like, roller coaster. Like, I mean, I know everybody says that when they're trying to publicize a piece of work that they're doing. Oh, it's so exciting, it's thrilling, blah, blah, blah. But this piece genuinely makes audience members gasp and jump and it genuinely elicits those kind of involuntary responses, which is the thing that, as somebody who's making stuff, you're just trying, that's all you're trying to do, is get someone to have a response which is genuine and in the moment. Yeah. And those gasps and those other involuntary things, but that's what you're really trying to have. Like, my other favorite one is the court laugh, when someone laughs but they don't quite let it all the way out. They kind of go, oh, because they don't want to kind of break what's happening on stage, but they can't quite believe what they've seen. And, yeah, so we all worked really hard to try and make the audience make those noises.
Yeah, and it definitely achieves it. You've got to go see it. I had a really fantastic time watching this, and I don't say that for anything. The Wasp, it's first class theatre, really. It's on at Circa for the rest of the month, but get along this week and tell your friends. Get your tickets from circa.co.nz. Sam, thank you so much for your time, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks, mate. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank Cheers. You. All right. Okay. In a few minutes' time, we will take a look at something completely different. We'll go into the kids' school holidays. We'll go into Shrek the Musical. But first, here on Access Radio, here's some more New Zealand music from The Beths. Here's Head in the Clouds.
Given in my best of faith. I just wanna know what is sticking around with, what a come down, come down.
The Beths there. The time is 27 minutes past five. You are listening to 106.1 FM Wellington Access Radio. Now, Shrek the Musical, it brings the fun of the hit DreamWorks animation to life on stage for all ages this October school holidays. It arrives in Wellington at the St. James Theatre next week after successful seasons in Auckland and Christchurch. A local cast led by Tom Knowles as Shrek, ready to bring the house down. And for Leighton Lillis of Showcase Entertainment, it's another chance to delight families of all ages. After previously bringing the likes of The Cat in the Hat to Wellington, Madagascar the Musical around parts of Aotearoa. Leighton, kia ora, welcome to Access Radio.
Kia ora, Simon, and thank you very much to yourself and your listeners for having me on tonight.
No worries at all. Now tell me, Leighton, when did you first have the idea or hear of the opportunity to put Shrek the Musical on in New Zealand?
Well, you know, like most people, I'm a huge fan of the movie. And probably about 5 years ago, I sort of moved out from doing concerts, which I had quite a long career, you know, promoting concerts around New Zealand with, you know, acts like The Hollies and Dr. Hook and Bonnie Tyler and the likes, and started moving into family entertainment. And the first show, as you mentioned earlier, was Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat, which we brought to the Opera House in 2020. And because of that, the success of that, we were offered other titles. So as you mentioned, Madagascar and then Shrek the Musical. And the most amazing thing about Shrek was the fact that perhaps it was because of the pandemic, but we were offered the set props and costumes that actually came out of London's West End. It's, wow. It's the kit that came from the Theatre Royal Drury Lane. Designed by a guy called Tim Hatley, who's won awards on Broadway for his designs. And once it had finished in Australia, the producers over there offered me the five containers worth of equipment, and we took it. And yeah, it's been hugely successful as we've taken it around the country. And I guess for us, just finally getting to Wellington and finally getting back into the St. James, it's just going to be amazing. And so far, ticket sales have been buoyant, so I know that it's going to be hugely well-received in Wellington.
Yeah, and I mean, Shrek, it's a huge show, right? There's so many characters and so much required of the actors in those leads. Was it a tricky casting process, finding the talent to play some of these roles? I mean, you know, from memory, does Lord Farquaad have to be on his knees most of the show? And Donkey, Shrek, Fiona, they're iconic roles, right?
Yeah, they are. And you know, I think because it's sort of the movie's been so ingrained in all of us, the actors really brought the persona of these characters. And yeah, it was a challenging process. We auditioned in four different cities: Auckland, Hamilton, Wellington, and Christchurch. And as you mentioned earlier, Tom Knowles out of Wellington, well, I think he's originally from Blenheim, he you know, secured the role of Shrek. And yeah, the rest of the cast are, I would call, an all-star domestic cast, you know, people that are well-versed in musical theatre around the country and have treaded the boards for some years. And our Lord Farquaad, especially, a guy called Nick Kyle, he, you know, he's just come back from Canada to take up this role. He's an ex-Kiwi, but he's been living in Canada for many years. And as you say, he has to walk around on his knees pretty much the whole performance, which is quite comical.
And I even hear on the grapevine that, you know, you could have been a contender yourself. I hear you're not too bad at the old Shrek voice yourself.
Now you're going the right way for a smack to bottom. You are. Obviously, no, I'm a musician, Simon, but never been an actor, but always loved the entertainment business and been in it for 30 years now. And you know, I'm quite content being the producer of the show and watching the whole thing come together. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all come together now, of course. And of course, unless you've been living under a rock, when you say Shrek, everyone knows who that is. Most will have seen the wildly popular DreamWorks movie. So tell me about the story of Shrek the Musical. Is it exactly the same as that first movie, or has there been some changes or adoptions added?
No, it is pretty much, the narration is pretty much the same, and the storyline's the same. And as you say, I mean, God, how popular is it? Today, we were in Christchurch, and we decided for a bit of a publicity stunt to head down to the local Margaret Mahe playground here in Christchurch. And I'm gonna throw it out there to your listeners. I reckon Shrek's more popular than Santa Claus these days. The kids just were all over him. And to have something, you know, the original movie's 21 years old this year. So to have a fan base that goes back, to people that are probably on their way to 30 now, all the way back to the kids now. I mean, that's a timeless tale that just is never going to go away. No. But it does. It follows the storyline. So there's nothing too unfamiliar. The songs were written specifically for the Broadway production, which was on Broadway, I think, about 15 years ago, and then did a US tour, then did the UK, a spell in the West End, which is where we've got our Seth and our Dragon from. Popular show.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. The original Broadway musical, it had 8 Tony nominations. It won for Best Costume Design. How much work goes into making Tom Shrek each performance? I mean, I'm guessing he must sweat buckets in that costume under the stage lights.
Well, it's quite interesting. When we first got the set turned up, we found these things called ice vests, and we couldn't for the life of us understand why you'd need an ice vest. And we realized very early on that for Shrek, just all the padding that he has, and the cowl is what they call it, the headpiece, and the prosthetics that go over his face to turn him into Shrek. The poor guy, I reckon he's going to, have dropped 10 kgs by the end of the Wellington run. he sweats buckets. It's a very active role, and it necessitates these ice vests. And, he puts them on about 5 minutes before he goes on. He's shivering when he's side of stage. He's so cold. And then by the time it comes off, the ice is gone, and he's sweating again. But without those, he'd be in all sorts of trouble, I suspect.
Yeah, for sure. And tell me about the set then. How do you go about creating the swamp and the kingdom of Far, Far Away on stage?
Well, it's a mixture of set pieces that have been specifically built and drapes, that are flowing in. And, we've got, I think, something like 15 scenes that change throughout the show. Starts with this wonderful storybook and ends with a rousing version of I'm a Believer. But yeah, a mixture of the drapes, set pieces, and props create the magic.
Nice. And large school musicals, I mean, they're back now, aren't they, in Aotearoa in a big way? I mean, we've just had a big season of Les Mis here. We've had visits from The Wedding Singer, Girl from the North Country. There's a lot been coming back through these last few months. How excited are you for this show to be part of that resurgence and revival after a pretty tough couple of years, right?
Yeah, and it was funny, Tom Knowles and I were just talking about that on the way to the theatre this morning here in Christchurch. This process started for us about 18 months ago.
Wow.
We started our auditions back in December, and it's just been this long process. And of course, we've had the hanging over of possible lockdowns and that. But, I think they're more moving on from that now. I think live theatre is back. I think people are loving the fact, especially in the family domain like we're in. We as parents, we want to take our kids to experience the wonder of musical theatre and of coming to a show. And when you've got something like Shrek that incorporates awesome music, amazing theatrics, and the odd fart joke, you've got a winning recipe there. So yeah, we're just really, really looking forward. It's been on our radar for so long to get into the St. James, and just can't wait to get ourselves in there.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned the family domain there. Of course, that's a huge part of it. But I know quite a lot of friends and adults who have been getting quite excited for this as well. And I noticed there is a 6 o'clock Friday performance, and obviously the weekend show is where I know multiple people who've got tickets as well. How exciting is it to see that sort of audiences of all ages going along and all having a great time, right?
Well, the big thing for me is I love to make my shows accessible. I don't like there to be an obstacle of price to coming to our shows. So I'm delighted that people of all ages are coming. If I had my time again, I'd probably do a few more evening shows, because what we've found is there's a much bigger market of people like you're talking about. It's not just for the kids. I think we've been led down the garden path by our experience with Madagascar of it really being a kids' show. Shrek is just on another level in terms of the layers. And it's really hilarious with the evening shows. All of a sudden, with the adults coming in, there's just this, they're laughing at all the right jokes, and there's just a different energy. But I think for me, the magic for me is still seeing kids having the time of their life in the theatre, you know, off their screens and being totally engaged for an hour and a half. And that's the other thing is we, look, it's the toughest thing. I always call it the Bruce Springsteen effect. There was a time that I went and saw Bruce when I was in London, and he just played, and he played, and I was loving it, and then he kept playing. And then I thought, geez, I wouldn't mind a hot dog, and he kept playing another song, and by the end of it, I was done. And sometimes theatre shows can be too long, and the version we do, it comes in just under 2 hours. It's called the Theatre for Young Audiences, and literally it's exactly the same as the full-scale musical. It's just got slightly shorter versions of the songs, and that's about it. But what it means is that the kids aren't going to be bored. They're going to be riveted right to the end. I watched it day after day in Auckland, sort of buzzed at the door when they came out. So the adults will feel that they're getting their money's worth. How are they going to get their money's worth? Because the top price ticket, I think, is only $75, which is just absurd. But what I'm trying to get is not just mum and dad coming along. Mum and dad are going to bring, you know, their two kids as well. So I hope that the fact that we're making it accessible means anyone that wants to come can come.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Leighton, thank you so much for your time. We're really excited to have Shrek the Musical visiting us next week. Shrek the Musical, it's on at the St. James next week, Wednesday the 12th to Sunday the 16th of October. 9 performances only, some of which are extremely close, if not already sold out. So get in fast, take the whole family along and enjoy. Tickets are available from Ticketmaster. Leighton, thank you so much for your time, and all the best for the rest of the tour.
Thank you so much, Simon, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Well, now let's play something from the Shrek soundtrack. Here is, of course, the classic I'm a Believer by Smash Mouth here on Access Radio. Smash Mouth, I'm a Believer, from Shrek, the motion picture soundtrack, Shrek the Musical, for young audiences, is arriving at the St. James next week, and some, yeah, it's very, very popular, as you heard Leighton from Showcase Entertainment just say there. So yeah, get along to that. Big thank you to Leighton for his time, and also before that to Sam Sneddon, the director of the thrilling play The Wasp, which opened at Circa over the weekend. Yeah, please go and see that as well. It looks absolutely fantastic. I've seen it. So yeah, honestly, this has to be the busiest fortnight of the year for the Wellington performing arts industry. It is huge. Of course, you know, we haven't even mentioned tonight World of Wearable Art, which opened over the weekend at the TSB Arena after a 2-year hiatus. It's the first show there since 2019. Of course, you may have seen on the news, Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister, did a little guest appearance modelling one of the garments on Friday at the awards show. But yeah, the show goes on for 2 more weeks at TSB Arena, and of course it's selling like gangbusters, so do go and get your tickets if World of Wearable Art is your thing, very fast, or be disappointed. Because not only is World of Wearable Art on this fortnight, the New Zealand Opera is here this week with Macbeth for 3 performances only at the St. James. The Royal New Zealand Ballet is in town this weekend at the Opera House with the start of their Tutus on Tour. So don't miss out on that as well. You've got the fantastic The Wasp on at Circa. You've got Shrek the Musical at the St. James next week. All in all, everywhere you look, there is just top-class arts happening in our city over the next 2 weeks, which when you look at the weather forecast, you know, get inside a theatre, you're going to have a great time. Also on this week, but we haven't discussed, because it's completely sold out, all 7 performances in advance, is the return of A Boy Called Piano by The Conch, which is a fantastic piece of work. If you listened a few months ago, you'll have heard us talk to a lot of the creative team behind the show, the director Nina Nawalawalo and producer Catherine Wyeth. They've turned the show into a feature-length documentary which premiered at this year's Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival. But the show came first, and it tells the story of Fa'amoana John Luafutu and the Luafutu Aiga as they bring the true story of Fa'amoana's experience in state care alongside thousands of Maori and Pacifica children into the light, building on the Conch's kaupapa of harnessing the power of theatre as a force for social change. The show is written by Fa'amoana and Tom McCrory and directed by Nina. It combines highly physical storytelling and breathtaking visual design with aerial and underwater photography from that documentary film, A Boy Called Piano. Yeah, it's a great, great show. But a lot of people knew that already. That's why it sold out. All 7 shows at Bats this week as part of its tour around Aotearoa. So we won't dwell on that. It's gone unless you want to join the waitlist and hope for the best. Tiny Dog, it's a big weekend of improv at Bats. Their latest show is 9:30 in the Dome on Friday. They're a fierce new improv company made up of Gabby Anderson, Stevie Hancock's Monk, Charlotte Gluchina, Lisa McLeod Whiting and Elaine Dick. All very, very cool, all very talented. If you haven't seen them yet, get along to that. Double feature, a new springtime offering from the team behind one-act play in Late Night Knife Fight. It's an improv show of two halves, one set featuring their stalwart pros, the other from specially invited guests. That's this Saturday at 6:30 p.m. in the Dome, and it's followed by Late Night Knife Fight at 9 p.m. on Saturday in the Downstairs stage. That's where three improv teams face off in a battle for glory, honour and the favour of that night's audience. The winner returns in the headline spot next month. It's a great show. If you're into improv, three great shows this weekend. And looking ahead to next week, 2021 Billy T Award winner Brinley Stent brings the sold-out, critically acclaimed show Soft Carnage to Bats Theatre. Brinley tore it up at the Best Foods Comedy Gala at the Michael Fowler Centre on Friday, and she's got five performances of that, 7:30 Tuesday through Saturday next week, and two of those are looking full or very full at the moment. Also for the school holidays, 2 p.m. each day Tuesday through Sunday next week is Blown Away by Mr. Wazowski Entertainment, a madcap concert where anything can happen. It looks insanely fun for all ages. And the winner of the best show in this year's Auckland Fringe Festival, or definitely, you know, the winner of a big award at this year's Auckland Fringe, High Rise, which has three performances only next week on the 13th, 14th and 15th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday's already sold out, very few tickets left to Friday, so get in for Saturday in the Dome for that. Yeah, so much going on these 2 weeks, as I say, and all the regular things still on as well. Your Raw Meat Mondays tonight at the Fringe Bar, you've got your Quizzamy Timbers at the R Bar, Lounge Comedy at Hashigozaki on Wednesday, Dragon has comedy at the Welsh Dragon Bar on Wednesday, the Powwow Room has comedy. Wednesday's a big night for comedy. The Stand Up at Moon in Newtown on Thursday night as well. There's a really exciting film screening at the Roxy on Thursday night. Māoriland presents He Waiora, Rangatahi Film Showcase. It's like an incubator program, eight short films made by a new generation of talented, emerging young Māori filmmakers, developed and produced by Māoriland Film Festival's Rangatahi Development Program. So that's on Thursday at the Roxy. There's also some really exciting films for all the family on at the Embassy all this week. I think it's called Around the World in 8 Days, I think is about what it's called. But there is a special screening as part of that at the Embassy on Saturday of Whale Rider, which if you haven't seen on the big screen like I haven't, coming over 10 years ago, director Nicky Caro is going to be there for a special Q&A after, and tickets are just I think $10 or $15, so get along and check that out. It's going to be a big one. That's 12:15 p.m. and that's all brought by the Square Eyes Film Foundation. Some of the other films that they're screening this week include Ponyo on Wednesday morning, The Eagle Huntress on Thursday. They even had a encore screening of Marcel with the Shoes on Saturday just gone, Kubo and the Two Strings, a great animated film, and My Life as a Courgette on Friday tea time at 5:15, which includes a Q&A with one of the animators on the film who's here in Wellington, Ant Elworthy. So yeah, do get along and check out all of the films on as part of that. Nick Marshall's done a fantastic job once again curating that program. But yeah, that just about covers everything this week. We could probably go on for hours and hours, the amount of work that's going on across the city. Do join me though next Monday, same time, same place. We'll have more great arts interviews coming your way. But for now, big thank you to Leighton from Shrek the Musical and to Sam from The Wasp for their time tonight. Do check out the podcast if you missed the interviews from tomorrow afternoon on accessradio.org.nz. Akashwani is on the way next, but for now, have a fantastic week, everyone. I'm going to play you out with some more New Zealand music. Have a fantastic week.
I know that there have been nights just as warm, and I've seen them.
summers, they come and they go. With the moon in the same place, like not much has changed. I don't know much, but I know that, whoa, whoa, there's never been tonight before. And no one like you ever liked me before. I feel you, but now I'm feeling so much more. 'Cause I've seen a lot of nights, that's how I know for sure. There's never been tonight before.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.